and welcome back to the We Don't Know Sports Podcast. This is Chad DeMarc with
Big E.
We went out of order.
And Greg freaking Rollins.
So that was, you deferred to him.
I did.
You should have just, stepped in there like you always do and lead the way.
Slacking already. I looked at him, his mouth open, and then he stuck his hand out.
I think it was more because we just wanted to know if it was Big E or Canadian Big E this week.
I was very curious. Mm. It's going to be just Biggie for now on. I gave up the maple syrup.
I told an interesting story about that. I went to dinner with Mongo yesterday and then I explained.
Is your mic on? Are you talking and talking through it?
Hello?
Anyway, you were at dinner
with Mongo and I explained how, it was Big Orange and simplified to Biggie.
I didn't know anybody else remembered that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Syracuse.
That was it. That was your identity for eighth grade, I think. This guy's from Syracuse.
And I was like, he's fat.
Well, Carl, he looks like the mascot. What turned out to be a cruel prank ended up being a nickname for life.
And Brad was like, I had no idea.
I didn't know Brad stuck. Our friend Brad's name. We don't need to say that. What's his real first name?
Raymond.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Why was I the only one that didn't?
I think because I only know because of like PayPal.
That's how I found out.
That is the only reason
I needed PayPal. And I'm like, who the fuck's Raymond?
Yeah. Started doing the bracket challenge a couple of years ago. And whenever he would send me money, I was like, what is it? It doesn't match up, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, actually, that's my name. I don't know how you go from Raymond to be called Bradley, but.
I mean, maybe his middle name is Brad.
Could be.
Or Bradford. I'm going to pretend like it's Bradford.
I think it should be.
It could be Bradley. But speaking of randomness, we had a guest that's on another episode that you can check out this week, Steve Wright. Most interesting man in the world?
I think, him and old Mark Littell is right there with it for me.
That is a good comp. If anybody remembers our Mark Littell interview and hunting with Aborigines for kangaroos, is that right?
Naked.
We'll when in Rome,
exactly,
or the Outback.
No, I'm just saying, both of these dudes are living the lives that we would all love to live.
They are.
And that's just it in a nutshell. I'll say this. He lives on the shore, basically out there in California.
Malibu.
And just walks down and surfs whenever he wants, walks through the sand and.
Goes to Fiji sometimes.
He's probably I know he's in better shape than me, and I'd say he's probably in better shape than Chad.
Yeah, he had the gun show out for a guy in his late 60s.
You live on the beach of Malibu, you got to.
He's talking about running on the sand in the morning and all that.
Apparently, Fiji's like an annual thing to him.
Yeah, he's hooked on Fiji now. But he's got some crazy stories. But right off the bat in the interview, he's like, "Who's that weird guy sitting behind you in the corner?"
He's like, "He just moved. He's not dead."
He said, unique guy, not weird. I was listening.
You didn't have headphones on. But he was eyeballing you the whole time.
I think he thought he was just a prop.
Yeah. It's like, what is happening? Who are
these? What's this wax figure back here?
Who are these weirdos from West Virginia I'm talking to?
Oh, that's our wax figure, a Big Orange.
Yeah.
The light was glaring off my bald head.
Oh, the Big Orange. I'm glad we went there. I'm glad that was a place. Well, speaking of Syracuse college basketball, March Madness continues on. I know Biggie's got money on games as always. It's been a crazy ass week. We had a bridge collapse. That's kind of nuts. I don't know if that has to do with sports, but it's a big deal.
It was a big deal. Still is a big deal.
Everybody, my favorite thing is everyone on the internet has now become civil engineers or nautical men. They can just tell you everything about boats. Everyone became a seaman all of a sudden.
Huh.
I don't like it. And they're telling you about the way bridges are constructed.
I mean, isn't that what people do, though? Anytime something happens, you're automatically the expert. Because, I went to the...
It's like, so
I went to the interwebs.
Everyone was...
Tons of great knowledge.
Everyone was James Cameron whenever the tic-tac blew up.
You're infectious disease experts. You're a maritime expert. You're a whatever. All I know is the video I saw where the boat hit the the bridge, there was like two cars over top of it that must have saw that it was about to be hit. Man, they were scooting over top.
Well, that and it was 1:30 in the morning, so at least there wasn't a lot of people out. But
construction, right?
They were able to call ahead, I guess. They SOS, so at least cut the people off from getting on the bridge. So like the ones you saw, like I guess they had stopped traffic. Imagine if you're on the side of that where they didn't stop traffic, and you're like, doo, 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 and all of a sudden there's just no road. Like, well, how does that happen? I have a friend that can see it from his house, and he didn't know it happened until he woke up in the morning. He's looked out like, what the hell? Like, that's something you don't expect to not see.
I guess the Mothman does travel.
It, you know, that's what people were saying. And it's like on the one-year anniversary of that damn ship in the Suez Canal.
Yeah. Oh, they got stuck. Yeah.
Remember how that ruined the world? Like, for a whole month, the world was ruined by this one boat. And now, is America going to be ruined by this boat?
Yeah, because you got to have them memes. Like, you got to have something that's the month of March and the month of April. What tragic thing happened this month?
That's kind of what it is. You're talking about how that year of review, right?
Right, right. We got to have something for that tragic month, for that event, you know?
I mean, it's nice to go back in time. Like, where were you when Tiger King was a meme? You know?
Right. I still never have.
Over the world.
I still never have watched Tiger King.
Pretty funny. I ain't gonna lie.
You haven't watched Tiger King?
Nope, I didn't watch it during the peak of it during COVID. And
so now you feel like you missed out?
Yep.
It's not worth going back, because like, you're not going to go up to people and be like, hey man, let's talk about Tiger King.
Yeah, because it's like old news.
What, you only watch The Last Dance during COVID and that's it?
Yes.
That's disappointing. I mean, hey, if you're out there,
that's why I had to watch the new Roadhouse right away, so I didn't want to miss the boat on that one too.
I don't think there was much of a boat on that one.
I haven't watched the new one yet.
Wasn't there one other thing during COVID that was big? Tiger King, Last Dance. There was.
I got us to watch Don't Fuck with Cats.
Yeah, that was just depressing.
That was over the top.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect nothing less from you.
I try to only bring the best.
Something.
What was the other one? There was something else. I can't remember. I don't know.
Cat, maybe.
Cobra Kai, probably.
Yeah. Or Stranger Things. COVID, I think. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's hard to keep track of time anymore.
Yeah.
Like, as somebody was talking about, you know, it was only 5 years ago. It was like 2017. I'm like, that's more than 5 years. You know, it's like, it doesn't, like, we had this, as bad as the world was for like 3 years, it felt like time didn't go by that quick. I don't know. Am I alone there?
No, I think shit's flying by, personally.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The older I get, it's... So we're in 2024, or all the way through 3 months already. Like, it feels like just yesterday, it was 2019, 2020.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
2020.
I think because it was so bad, we just tried to black it out. Maybe that's what it is. We gave ourselves CTE about it, so we didn't have to pay attention. But with speaking of CTE, did you see the kickoff rule in the NFL now?
I did. It's did they get that from XFL, USFL?
I think it's the XFLs. So they already stole the damn Skycam. That was the XFL. Yeah. Do you remember that back when Vince was like, "This is"?
Yeah, that was crazy. They did have the camera angle as well. They end down.
Right? Yeah, they even had like
that extra layer from sports entertainment. We gotta get this shit right.
Hey, they do know how to do that.
Yeah,
like they don't. There's nobody makes better video packages.
There you go.
But anyway, they're stealing once again from the XFL the kickoff rule.
I don't even know nothing about it. I told you guys, and you make fun of me. It's baseball season.
So if you have to explain it, hey, it is opening day, but it's not opening day for the Braves.
Yeah,
the Reds won though. I was happy about that.
The new kickoff rule in a nutshell, they're going to take the kickoff team and the return team, line them up about 5 yards apart from each other around the 25 or 30 yard line.
Okay.
There's no longer, you know how you could catch it at the five and it was a fair catch like it is on a punt? You can't do that anymore. If it's kicked between the 25 and the goal line, it has to be returned.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
In the NFL next year.
Yes.
That's great.
So they're trying to incur, but here's the way the line is set up, though. Like, you're not running down on kick coverage anymore. you'll have the return team. You only have two people that's in the receiving area, which is like the 20 and in. So on the 30-yard line, you'll have, you know, non-blockers. And then on the 35-yard line, you have 10 defenders. And so once the receiver catches the ball, they always start trying to block or do whatever.
Think about this. So special teams, don't that mean things for fantasy football?
That's what I was going to say. Like,
they're trying a touchdown, wouldn't it?
Damn, I got to get a drink.
Definitely on a punt return, I think.
I think that there's going to be a coach who's innovative enough to find a guy like a Devin Hester.
You're going
to
bring back the return man.
Yeah, that like, can get through that line and just gone.
Like, what's been the last good return man? Wait a minute. I think I hear your dog trying to get in, Greg. Is that what he is? I was just like, I hope we didn't leave the little guy outside.
He's scratching on his bed over there.
As long as he's getting comfy.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I like the rule. I like that they're trying to make them do a return. And, you know, they're cutting down on concussions. It's not that big a deal. Everybody's getting upset about it, but I think it was like 80% of kickoffs or touchbacks.
Let it play out in a year and see how it goes. The only thing that I don't like about it is I like the surprise onside kick in different situations.
It does take that away.
You had a really good special teams unit.
Because that's the best way to do it. Onside kicks are freaking impossible now.
Yeah, because if they know it's coming, you're definitely not getting it. Now they always know it's coming, so
that's fine. But then they did the hip drop tackle too, and everybody's pissed about that.
Yeah, that one's dumb.
That's I guess they said 25% of the times that tackle takes place, somebody gets hurt.
I don't know. I don't know what else you expect defenders to do. It's just going to become kind of glorified 7-on-7.
Somebody told me today that there was the play that ended the Super Bowl between the Rams and the Titans when Kevin Dyson was reaching out, that tackle is a hip drop tackle. So they would have been first and goal on the one.
Untimed down.
See, that's stupid.
We'll see how it ends up getting enforced. It's like there's a new rule in baseball about the
– I was going to ask him about that. Greg needs to weigh in on this because you and me were talking about it and because we saw it in the spring training, but what were you going to say?
Well, it's the same. The hip drop tackle is kind of hard to avoid, and there's only certain ways you can tackle. With the way that I saw that called in spring training, how many times is that actually going to get called during the season where now that runner's –
the obstruction, you can't block the bag. Like, no part of you can be in front of the bag.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
You didn't see the. No. Yeah, I guess it's a point of emphasis. I'm shocked.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, damn. Well, there was a play that basically, like, routine play with the catcher throwing, where do you try to place the ball? You know, and that's where it was. So he's kind of in front of the bag with his glove. And they're like, nope, he's safe because you can't be blocking the bag.
That's dumber than hell then.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing you're supposed to do is throw down from the catcher down to second, and he should have his glove right there in front of the bag ready to catch it.
I'm gonna find the video and show you and let you react here live because this is it's ridiculous. But
yeah, because I get it when it comes to blocking the plate as a catcher because you have a lot of collisions there, but on guys trying to steal second base. I don't know. You're going to get in front of the bag with your glove down, and a good throw is going to be 2 inches in front of the bag.
Right. That's where you want it, as a fielder.
Yeah.
She finds it below, right in front of the bag.
She finds that video. The one they called out, and who knows
if I got it.
To so do it that way. But
I'm going to – let me turn my volume down here, but we'll let Greg watch it since he hasn't seen it. But as I pulled it up, I guess it was used at least once today because a couple other videos popped up, so people were pissed about it. All right, Greg. Clearly he's out, right? Wait till you see the replay.
I can tell you I don't like this rule already. This is dumb and shit. That was a perfect baseball play.
Yeah, but he's safe.
Let's see it. Come on. Will they show it again?
I think they do.
That's where you want to throw. And there's been decades of training how you put the ball there.
It's like you got to unwire evolution here. it's insanity.
Yeah, I think it froze, man.
That's all right. But I mean, you get the gist of it. It was just, it's terrible, terrible rule. And I don't know how they're going to manage this. Could you imagine?
Oh, my God. I can't.
Like, I know they did the we don't want to plow over the catcher anymore. You know, that's where a lot of this stuff started.
So where are you supposed to tag him at?
But I didn't think we had still a problem with this.
How are you supposed to make a tag then? I mean, what's the proper way to make a tag?
Yeah, but I guess my question is, like, what led to them wanting to do this initiative anyway? I didn't feel like this was a...
I haven't felt it being an issue on the base pass at all.
Like, where's everybody crying about...
I mean, there's always nobody like Albert Bell destroying Fernando Vina anytime.
A-Rod's not slapping anybody.
Right. Usually when they have a rule like that, it's a reactionary thing. At home plate, it was Buster Posey got busted up.
Yep.
So
that's why they changed that.
Right.
But I don't feel like there's been anything on the base pass that's triggered this.
Not that I can remember.
I mean, it should be the Fernando Vina rule.
Just don't kill him. I'm surprised America's Pastime on Facebook is not blowing up with that. The rule change.
Oh, they probably are. I just don't have time to read everything.
I was surprised to see it that black and white like that. Just like the wrong way to call it. Like if you had to write the book on the wrong way that rule should be implemented, like that was it.
So we're going to be meeting Kip Gross, former Red Forger, former Dodger, you know, in May in Cincinnati, right?
Right.
So he has this running list of things that Rob Manfred has changed about the game of baseball. And it's probably about 15 to 25 things.
So this is like a list of things that he despises that Manfred's
changed.
Done that's changed.
Just that they've changed in the game of baseball.
So that things that you consider good or bad.
No, just, he puts them as all bad.
Okay. I wanted to know.
But I mean, like saying, he's keeping track and he has a list.
Checking it twice.
Yeah, he is. I mean, so if you want to get him riled up over there, just talk about MLB's rule changes. Mm. And he will just like, I mean, I'm not saying he'll fucking go into detail.
But that's the kind of thing I want to hear though. Yeah. But I'm sure, especially those that have played the game, they probably feel it a lot more than, you know, what we do. Like imagine, you know, some of these NFL players looking at the game today and how many of them are like, I wish we had that rule or whatever.
I mean, Steve touched it on the show. Just think about how valued Emmitt Smith was, Thurman Thomas, those running backs of the 90s, and they got paid really well. And now offensive linemen are making more than running backs, and they're like, protecting my quarterback's more important than my running back. Yeah. I don't pay it that way.
Yeah.
In the 90s, running backs got paid.
Yeah, now they're coming out rookie contract. Unless you're special at the end of that first round, even if you're a first round pick, like Saquon Barkley had a hard time getting picked.
Yeah, but don't you think that overall this offseason the running backs did pretty damn good?
Well, you know why they did good? The cap went up and teams realized that there's no running backs in the draft, so they had to.
I think that's what it was. There was no
because if the draft's full of them like it is wide receivers, you go draft and you get them cheap. That's the only reason they got paid this year.
But you're 100% right. Like up until like this year and whoever said the cap going up, that might be what it is. It's like they found some money. It went up more than we thought.
I mean, now we can give running backs $5 million more of our cap
space. I guess. We'll guarantee 10% more of your salary. But
I thought you pour that. I want to see if it looks like it does
not,
in the commercial.
Not why he's pouring.
How much head's on there?
That looks delicious.
You know that when they pour beers in commercials, the reason they get so foamy at the top is because they put dish soap in them first.
They do all kinds of weird stuff on commercials. Like when they do pizza commercials, it's glue. It's not cheese. That's pancakes are like cardboard.
Yeah, they put pieces between them to make them look fluffy.
Or they don't use pancake mix. They'll use something else, but they don't use syrup. They use like motor oil.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
Yes. We got to go to opening day.
No, I know. We're back. We'll go to opening day.
He's like, I don't know where to go next.
I was waiting on you.
And it's opening day.
You had the perfect pour, and I didn't want to disturb that. And
thank you.
That's a very nice foam head on your beverage there.
Oh, yeah. It's going to taste really, really good.
But, so we were talking about the rule change with baseball, but the big thing for most teams, I know you missed out because of terrible weather in the mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, but Phillies and the Mets both got rained out opening day.
But it wasn't just them. Wasn't there some others? There was quite a bit they got. I thought that's, weather delayed.
It stuck out my mind, I think because of fantasy purposes for me. But
well, I wasn't paying like super close attention, but Isaac, of course, being a big Braves fan, and he's like, how in the hell did they cancel the game the day before the game? Did they have a big thing come through Philadelphia?
I mean, you know, if like you're going to have 2 days worth of torrential downpours, pretty much. if there's a big enough cell.
True.
I'd say.
I mean, that too, but you know, some years it's so freaking cold on opening day, but almost every game I've seen, it looked like at least the weather was nice.
Well, here's what's screwed up about it. MLB hasn't realized yet that maybe we should play at all home stadiums with retractable roofs, or down south, or down out west where there's less chance of rain. Like, the Philly is known for rain in the early spring, and Atlanta never opens up at home.
Do you think that might be a requirement anytime they build ballparks now?
I don't know.
Well,
like,
in the NFL, it kind of became a thing. If you wanted to get a Super Bowl and you built a new...
You got the only way you get it, because fans don't want to sit in the damn cold unless it was New York.
But they won't get another one. But to what Greg's saying, you always see like the Yankees and the Indians open at home, and it's Phillies, like snowing.
Phillies Mets.
Why?
They what about be Colorado all down south? South.
You only get to play at home up north if you have a dome. Like the Twins should not be playing. Minnesota just got a foot of snow last week. They don't need to be playing at home. The Mariners can play the first seven at home because it doesn't snow there. And even though it rains a lot, you got a doggone retractable roof. But
it never rains in San Diego, so they need to be opening up.
Yeah, Seattle has to have a roof.
San Francisco. Yeah.
Like if Seattle didn't have Arizona, a roof, how many rain delays would there be in Seattle alone?
I mean, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. 81 home games, you'd have like 67 rain delays.
Can you imagine?
If you like doubleheaders, you're in luck. You're going to get a lot of them in Seattle. But
the Reds already won today.
Yeah. So just going back to the opening day, you know, we were talking about this before we did our interview with Steve. The players, you were talking about Mike Trout doing the video, right?
Yeah, narrating the hype video for MLB for opening day.
And one of the things that he talked about was like it's being his 12th opening day and still having the butterflies and like everything I was listening to, like all these Reds players, because it was opening day for them. And like, you know, all of them have that. And it's, I don't know if, I know some people get butterflies in every game no matter what, but that first day of baseball, even though it's a long ass season, man, it seems to mean so much for the players.
I mean, absolutely does. And the fact is, like you said earlier, it's only one game of 162. But I mentioned to her earlier, I was like, what if you lose the division by one game? It's just as important as game 162.
It's that weird baseball math. Like, why? How do they figure out 90 feet was going to be the perfect distance
and stay that way?
How do they know that 162 games, even though you play all these damn?
Well, then forever it was 154.
Right, but it's still.
Now, but like,
you're going to come down to like tiebreakers still.
So then, like, that's what's crazy about baseball. The biggest thing about baseball is the statistics part, right? Statistics are the biggest part of baseball more than any other sport. Well, think about like how many bats that Ruth lost over his career because of them less games every year.
Right.
I mean, just stuff like that. So I think they need like to keep it 162 forever because that way they can just keep.
You want to keep the lineage
comparable?
Yeah.
So screw Anthony Rendon and him thinking they only need to play like 80 games like the NBA. He just needs to retire already.
Leave Anthony Rendon alone.
No, he's trash.
What did he do to you?
Oh, it's just too much. I don't want to play this many games. Well, then go be a grocer or a Walmart greeter.
Part time.
Sorry, fuck.
Part time. Anthony Rendon's just made the list. You don't have him in fantasy, do you?
Hell no. I learned that lesson about 3 years ago.
So who do you think has the best opening day atmospheres?
I mean, tradition Cincinnati. You get 100K up in there, opening day at least.
I'm sad.
In that whole area there.
I'm sad I didn't go.
I mean, that's got to be it for me. And the fact that MLB opened up in the South Pacific to open the season for a two-game series, it was just ridiculous.
That's some dumb shit right there.
And to be a week removed from these games.
Yeah, I mean, but like, I get it. You want to grow the game, which the WBC is doing a great job doing that, but it's the national pastime for a reason. You open up in Cincinnati like they've done for 150 years and show why it's America's pastime.
Well, and even if you're going to do it overseas, do you have to do it so far apart? It's look, the way people travel now, it's not the end of the world to go there and come back. You might need an extra day for travel for that, but you don't need a week.
That was weird. That's why I made sure we started our fantasy season after that. Because the other two other leagues I was in, we already drafted. And we got two games of stats and then sat there for like a week and a half. And we're like, I'm ready for it to start for real. It was a tease.
We did have our fantasy draft Saturday. How do you feel about your squad?
My offense is amazing. My pitching is going to be amazing if my six pitchers that are injured will come back. But I'm going to do a lot of spots starting. Like I said, I think I have a chance of winning all five offensive categories. I just got to pick up a couple wins and K's, and I'll win 7-2 every week.
What injured pitcher are you most optimistic for?
Cole.
You got Garrett Cole. And the other ones you have right now?
Oh, I got the old boy DeGrom, who hasn't been in a game, I feel like, in 4 years. But he was like the 18th and 19th round, so I ain't really mad about that.
No. If he plays at all, that's a W.
Yeah, I got them two. I got Montgomery, who just signed with the Diamondbacks. So he's got to get amped back up.
Man, Diamondbacks are for real, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to look good. I think they'll probably finish second again. And like, I like the Giants, too, getting Snell and Soler at the end of the regular season.
I'm just surprised.
Good negotiating on the free agents to let the price tag come down.
Well, then if Chapman ever returns to form, which I'm not
correct. Oh, Matt Chapman, well, you're right.
The Giants I like as a kind of fringe wildcard team there with that Blake Snell addition.
I'm going to say this. I think the NL West this year is the best division in the National League.
Top to bottom, not even
and
close.
Yeah. Usually it's the NL East. Yeah, but I feel like this year it's Braves and Phillies running off with the pack. Just my opinion.
The
Marlins will be there. Try to because they have nice young pitching.
Is this the Dodgers effect though in the NL West? Is this what it is like? Because everybody tried to get better, and the Diamondbacks, who have historically been pretty frugal,
you can argue that everyone in the division got better with the exception of the Colorado Rockies.
Right.
Even the Padres got better. They had some subtractions, but I think moving Kim over to shortstop, letting him play his natural position,
you think
make them a lot better defensively.
You think it's a net positive for them?
I think the Padres will be better. I'm telling you, the Giants will be better. And the D-backs, they're a surprise team, but I think they're going to be consistent this year.
So we
people will be watching for them, but I think they at least, you know, get a wild card for sure.
D-backs, do you see a continued rise for Mr. Rookie of the Year last year? You think they fall into a little bit of a slump?
I think his swing is not like geared up for like sophomore slump per se. And I get it. The game, it's a game of adjustments.
Yeah.
He might go through some slumps, but the way he's swing is in his game is he's not trying to be a power hitter. Like if some goes out, they go out. He's playing like the gaps.
Yeah.
And like he's type of a fast version of like Mark Grace as a hitter.
I like that comp.
And then he turns the doubles into triples and the dude can fly.
Yeah. He stole a bunch of bases last year.
So I dropped Gracie in there because he did play for the D-backs at the end of his
career. He did.
He's known as the big cubby.
I like how you did clarify faster version too. Yeah. That was important. But for the bat, I totally get it.
I feel like he's got one of those swings that don't have a lot of holes, and he's more about making contact, which isn't normal in today's game.
Mark Grace is extremely underrated. He was probably the second best hitter in the 90s average-wise. I think we've seen that stat
before. Even behind Tony Gwynn, right?
Yeah.
Some man named Tony.
What do you think Mark Grace's war is?
I'm going to say 55.
I'm going to look it up.
47-55.
Biggie, you have a guess?
Mark Grace's war. I'm going to guess that it's 50. Nah, I'm going to say it's 50 at the highest. 45 to 50.
What'd you say?
I said 47-55.
46.4. So you were more specific, so you get the points. Survey says?
Yeah, he was a great hitter, though. Big doubles machine.
Career 303 hitter.
Yep. There's no way he's second, then.
Yeah.
Well, there's a stat and something. Well, I'll find it.
But that might be brought down by – he did play 4 years in the 2000s.
Yeah.
So
– yes, I'll find the obscure stat that is sticking out in my mind that I can't pinpoint and give it to you after the show is over. But he had some great deal in the 90s where the only one better than him was Tony Gwynn.
You're probably right. I mean, I don't know a lot of guys that bat 300 for a decade. So, I mean.
Especially now.
Yeah.
God. It's
NL West is going to be fun to watch this year. I think this year it's more of the Braves. And like I think, once again, the Braves beat the Phillies by 10, at least double digits, which I don't like. But I think that NL Central – will be very interesting.
You don't want that bye.
No.
That bye has been a train wreck for everybody.
I think like it's crazy how we demonstrate over a full season of 162. We're clearly the better team. We match up with them twice and get knocked out both times. It's like Philly's built for the playoffs, and we're built just to be better than you every other year or every other game, and if you run out of steam, though, because you lose that edge.
You're so salty.
No, this is what it is.
He's like, salty.
You can tell when teams are better than other teams.
Yeah, so they should add another team and get rid of the bye, right?
I think so. Let it beat up on an 8 seed.
Right.
At least that major league competition.
That'd be a nice tune-up.
Two more cities. Now that we're just six teams in the league, might as well make it 8, and then two more cities get up for the playoffs.
Only if we expand. We need to get to 32. They got to do the math like the NFL.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. So, obviously, Nashville, probably.
I think that's – but that hurts the Braves and the Reds the most there, I think.
Yeah. I think Braves country is so big, though. It's one of those things where the local people in Asheville are probably going to support the team, but a lot of the South still be Braves fans.
Yeah, it just depends. Depends on how close you are if you get to go to games. Yeah. But Nashville baseball would be cool. And then we don't know if Oakland's going to Vegas or not, right?
Mayor of Vegas doesn't want them.
And then I heard Charlotte as well.
Okay, so Charlotte could be an option.
Which would still rob from the Braves.
Yeah. The Southeast has not been utilized.
Yeah.
No, they put all those damn teams in Florida, and they're like, well, it can't be worse than that.
I didn't realize how big Charlotte was until Landon was going through the demographics with me.
Yeah.
We were eating dinner because his favorite soccer team's in Charlotte. He wants to go watch a soccer game. Well, then I was like, it ain't that big. And then he brought it up, and I'm like, oh, wow.
It's a lot like Columbus, you know. It's just one of they used to not be that big, and then they just kept growing and growing.
He told me that Charlotte's bigger than Atlanta.
I believe that.
That's why I was like, "Holy hell!"
Well,
I've never known.
The way Atlanta's set up, though, is there's some really big, you know, towns or cities that people consider Atlanta, but they're not Atlanta.
Well, I don't even think the new ballpark's considered Atlanta
anymore. Smyrna.
It's 30 miles north of Atlanta downtown.
Yeah, so
I think that's too far for the outskirts.
Right, but I don't know if you go that far, but I know Charlotte doesn't have the same kind of layout there, but that's where everybody from our state moved to.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't want to live in West Virginia anymore. They went to North Carolina.
Yeah.
That was like a thing for like 20 years, I felt like. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's still happening. No, yeah. Nobody comes
Mass
here.
Exodus.
We're not getting a baseball team.
No, never.
We know that much. No.
So would you care to take a guess how much larger Charlotte is than Atlanta?
I don't even remember.
I'll say Atlanta's 500,000, Charlotte's 800,000.
As of 2022, Atlanta was 499,000. Charlotte was 897,000.
Oh, so I shorted them by 100,000.
A bit.
Damn.
Which you wouldn't think about it because Atlanta has the four major ports.
Right?
Yeah. And then they have one of the busiest airports in the world. So you would just expect Atlanta to be like 3 million people.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I mean, it's and Georgia's like a place to be. Like
Georgia.
Everybody wants to move. And then Mongo, he said he'd move to Savannah in a heartbeat if he could.
I love Savannah. It's great. I mean, it's just the history. Now I don't like the heat very well. Obviously, I'd probably melt.
Well, that's why you gotta be on the coast. Little wind, little breeze.
Yeah.
Do you like the sand, or does it bother you? Does it get in your crack and you're like,
I get what's called soggy sand nut.
Soggy sand. That's the worst.
When it gets in the netting or your shorts.
Yeah, and you can't tell where you end and the sand begins.
And it just rubs you raw to the end of time.
I feel this as you're speaking about it. It's terrible.
So then next thing you know, like 2 days later, you're doing the waddle down the beach because you don't want
like a hermit crab.
You don't want your thighs to touch your area.
Yeah.
So
a little chafing.
Yeah, it ain't good for anybody. So then I might spend today in the pool.
So I guess that was you telling me, no, you don't like the sand.
I don't like sand.
Okay. Biggie, when's the last time you've been to the beach?
I don't mind the sand if I'm not wet. Let's put it that way. If I'm just walking in it, I'm fine.
Yeah, you don't mind it on the tootsies. You just don't want to roll around in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Biggie, when's the last time you've been to the beach?
No, it's been about 20 years since I've been to the ocean.
Damn. What about
Senior Week, right?
Yeah, and then a couple times after that.
You went after Senior Week.
We drove down and partied for the weekend and came back. Didn't you go with?
For probably the weekend?
I probably wasn't invited. So.
That's a rough weekend.
Yeah, it is.
8 hours?
Oh, it's only a six-hour drive.
Well,
five and a half. It's five and a half.
I tried going to Denver for the weekend.
Yeah. I don't know what's worse, driving long distances or being stuck on a plane that you don't want to be in.
I like being stuck on a plane you don't want to be in, because driving long distances, you can break it up. You can pull into a rest area, stretch your legs, sleep. Well, stuck on a plane you don't want to be on?
I didn't realize that Denver was 24-hour drive, so obviously we had to fly.
Yeah.
We did this in a weekend.
So we'll take the flight. Like, you ever been on one of those where you're stuck in the middle seat and there's like 200-300-pound people on the outsides? That's the worst.
Yeah, it's like what happened when in anger management with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, the air marshal's getting called.
In my seat. Can you sit anywhere, pal? Go sit in my seat. There's two big fat asses in there. Yeah. He's like, fuck.
That's I've lived that. I've been there. It's not fun, but that's all right. That's why you don't fly Southwest, because you can't pick your seats. You just got to randomly run on there and find a
spot. That was weird for me.
What, flying?
No, just where you don't have assigned seat.
Oh, you flew Southwest?
Yeah, I'm used to having assigned seats.
You know what the biggest bullshit on that is? I swear to God, you get on the website the night before, right? 24 hours, and you can reserve your boarding class because they do like A, B, and C. Or you can pay a little premium, right? And I'll sit there, and I'm just like 2 minutes before, refresh, 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 like a son of a bitch. And it pops up, and you get your number. It's like C58. No, like, what was that? Like, there's no way anybody was ahead of me. And then, like, I'll talk to somebody else that might have been on the same flight, and they're like, well, I got A52. Like, how am I, like, the next to last person to get on this plane? And then you stand there, and they, you know, we let the veterans on, salute your service, appreciate you, let the differently abled on and all that. But then it's like, is there any children, families? You know, Catholics, like whatever. They just keep running people on there. And I'm just watching the whole time.
What, like, can single straight male?
Yes. Can I please get on the plane? And while I'm on the subject of the matter, the other thing, why does everybody got to stand up like a jackass when the plane lands? You can't get off. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Let's all stand up and make it really hot and heavy in here, because everybody's breathing hard after sitting down for a long time. But simply standing out of the airplane seat takes a lot of oxygen for them. Why do they do it?
The airplane exit is probably one of my biggest pet peeves, because you're not going anywhere. Stand up. Let's everybody try to get into the overhead bins at the same time. Like, sit down, shut up. We're going to exit single file when we do exit.
You know what would make flying a little bit funner? If they would just add those tarps out the windows where everybody gets to, like, wee.
Yeah, once you got there, just open the chutes.
That'd be amazing. Like, that would make flying so much funner when you get to your destination. Well, I mean, like, not everyone's got to do it.
Greg's going to win the Powerball and have a private plane, and every time it lands, the damn raft is coming out the door.
Right.
You know, the pilot's like, damn it.
I have to put this up every time. Money. Put it back up.
We're out of compressed air. They're winning this. Are you happy now?
Yeah.
Well, you have
a basketball pump over there. Go use it.
You have seven different, like, call signs for loading the plane, but for exiting the plane, it's like every person for themselves.
It is. But I mean, imagine if each window that you were sworn in to protect during the flight instructions, all right, if that automatically opened into like a slide and you get to slide out, that was like your reward for like protecting the plane.
Yeah.
Remember, you get the special instructions.
Right. And you know, some people, they have to ask them, like, sir, can you handle this responsibility?
For this challenge?
If you're by an exit door,
how do you react in emergency?
I mean, but then you're like, are you trying to ask if I'm going to have an alcoholic beverage on board? Or what are we asking here?
I remember an old episode of King of the Hill where they're on an airplane and Bobby, his boy, gets that seat and Hank looks at him as serious as he can. Son, this is a big responsibility. Today, you've become a man. That's how important the airplane emergency exit seat is.
And then imagine that man getting to joyfully slide down on that tarp at the end. It's just a win-win.
Whee! See, I like where this is going.
Yeah.
This is we need to do more emergency landings so we can go off the tarp. That's all.
I agree.
You know, the I watched a documentary on this guy that took a Greyhound from New York to Los Angeles. I don't know. Do you know anything about Greyhounds and how, like, just miserable?
All Piggy knows is how to bet on them.
That is true.
I like the fast ones.
I hope so.
This one's in heat.
It ain't like you're picking old tub of lard from Daddy's Boy. He picked like 800-1 odds with Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
To win this.
That's a
decathlon.
That's an underrated movie.
I liked it.
I thought it was good. They made a sequel out of it. Oh, we got somebody in the background dropping beverages. Come on.
Last didn't
break. Let's get it together. Anyway, the Greyhound thing, the thing I want to tell you is, like, they're mired in controversy. Like, they're terrible. They're dangerous.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the homeless are, like, hanging out at all their bus stops. You can't tell who's getting tickets and who's not. So this dude, he was documenting his trip. He made it from New York City to New Jersey before he got delayed because his bus driver got pulled over for a DUI. That's how the documentary started. He was just trying to show his experience, and it turned into a hit piece on Greyhound because of DUIs. And then they never knew if people had tickets or not. It was amazing. I hope you never find yourself where you have to ride a Greyhound.
Well, that Greyhound driver got upgraded to a school bus driver.
You think? Yeah, probably. That's how that works. They'll hire anybody. Could you imagine being a school bus driver today, like with the kids? And just the lack of respect they have.
That's what I might be in the next couple of years.
You would not make it.
No, I would. That'd be fine.
You'd be drop kicking them little shits.
Right, we'll see what happens.
I know
what you'd be like happen. The school bus driver from The Simpsons.
All I have to do is get my passenger's endorsement, and then I'll just be like Otto from The Simpsons. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are we going?
To the get, on, little, get on, little dudes.
Lou, I'm totally freaking out right now.
Tell me that wouldn't be fun.
You could be Chris Farley was the bus driver in a movie.
That was Billy Madison.
Yeah.
We had roads that were so bad going on from school that the bus driver knew the road so well, he would not slow down, and we would wait for it, and we'd try to hit our heads on the ceiling, bounce so high.
Dude, we do have some roads that, even now, I'm like, I don't know how they're putting a bus out there. Like, I heard they paved Manila Creek, but...
I bet it's like a racetrack.
Oh, my God.
Out there with all them rednecks.
That'd be insanity. It'd be like 2 a.m. You just hear that Flow Master glass pack coming down the holler.
They could probably film that on the ad show, to be honest, if they had like road cams along the way.
You know, they have a bike race coming to Charleston. That's not what we need. We need like redneck Pikes Peak. Like instead of the race going up the mountain, they just go out one of these hollers here. Do it like Cannonball Run. You just got to make it to the end first.
Except they all have to be on souped up lawnmowers.
Oh, wow.
No, I'd say it had to be 1980s Mustangs. That's what they'd have to have.
80s Mustang.
Yeah. That's square body. That's okay. That's what a redneck would drive around here.
I'd say there'd be several things rednecks would drive.
What'd here. You say, Mike? 92 Mustang. Okay. I can go with that.
Isn't that what Kid Rock drove against Joey Dirt?
I don't remember. I just remember what Joey Dirt had.
I'm kidding.
Joe Dirtay.
Dirtay.
Who eats a wham burger?
So on movies, you watched The New Roadhouse. I watched The New Roadhouse. If you had to score it,
I'd give it like a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.
You know, it was a bunch of fight scenes, which I expected. It had like no plot to it, but I'll give Jake Gyllenhaal credit because his abs had abs.
So you gave it a 4 out of 10, correct?
Yeah.
What would you give the old one?
Probably like a 7 or 8. I thought it was pretty good.
7.5 out of 10.
All right, we're in 100% agreement.
All right.
The best part of the new one, honestly, was Conor McGregor.
Yeah,
but you couldn't understand what he was doing or why he was doing anything. But he's just funny to watch him. And they did such a good job making him look like he actually had height.
Yeah, because he's a short bastard.
What is he, 5'8" like me?
Yeah, they made him look like he was like 6 even.
They made him look 6.
Yeah, but you know what the Conor McGregor walk is. He just does that the whole movie. It's the
Trevor Bauer walk.
Yeah, 100%. That's just what he does. Doesn't ever stop. It's hilarious. He's just open. He'll kick in a door, walk in. What the fuck is this now? And that's it. And nobody knows the rest of the plot. Hmm. I don't know what
you've seen the original Roadhouse, right, Greg?
No.
Oh, really?
I thought that you had watched
it. I started it the other day, actually, and I fell asleep.
Oh, because it was boring?
No, just because I'm got up sleep apnea and I just fell asleep when I had a bed.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
It's a cult classic. It's a lot of people say it's the best bad movie ever made. I think that's the way I see it described a lot. But I think just to call it a cult classic does its service. It's amazing. I thought the fight scenes in the first one are better than the second.
I heard there were CGI related issues with the new one on the fight scenes. Is that true?
Not that I saw.
I was just reading it online, so I didn't know if that was true or not.
Well, it's got to be true if they put it online.
I will say in the old one, though, he had Sam Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
He looked, he like, when I look at him as an actor, I think of Andy Skidmore from high school.
They're
young dude with the gray hair. So now you look at him, well, he's a gray hair for 20 years or whatever. He looks the same damn way now in 2023, just about when, like he was in 1883 or whatever.
Did you ever watch it?
I have not.
And that's why it's good, because he's in there.
They called him old man in Roadhouse.
And that was 35 years ago.
Hey, old man. And he called Patrick Swayze my son.
Mio.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But,
so can we at least hit the AL before we wrap up?
I'd love to know. You know, we didn't really do a division prediction overall. So we got your National League earlier. But, yeah, I'd love to hear about American
League. Did I say everybody for the National League?
I don't know. You didn't do the Central.
No, Dodgers, Braves, I'm going to go.
You're feeling good about the D-backs and the Phillies is probably wild cards.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with the Cubs. Cubs in the Central.
Cubs in the Central. Okay, and then flip it over to the AL.
It's going to be the Orioles. Okay.
Biggie and I were talking about this earlier. If you're an Orioles fan, how excited are you that they just went out and spent money? But then you go to opening day and Corbin Burns
11 strikeouts,
lights out.
So I felt like the Braves and it's not me being biased, but I feel like the Braves and the Orioles are set up for the most success over the next 5 to 7 years.
We've seen it with the Braves.
I think the Orioles are that next team because they're at the final stage.
You are high on them.
No, they're at the final stages of the rebuild, and they've had one of the best farm systems in the last 5 to 7 years. So now you got the Jackson Holidays coming up. The Grayson Rodriguez, the pitcher, we've just barely seen him. He's going to do big things this year. I love what the Orioles are doing and the fact they went out and got that number one at the end of the
– sends a message.
Yeah, end of the offseason there. I mean, it's basically saying Baltimore, we're going to take the Yankees down again, and that's what they're going to do.
Well, you got Adley Rutschman, who's under 25.
Yeah, he's Gunner, probably the face of catching for the next 15 years.
Gunnar Henderson, who's under 25. Seth Mullins is a little bit older than that, but he's a stud.
Nice clubhouse leader there. Played on Team USA, that type of thing.
So how many games they finish ahead?
I'm going to go 6.
Okay. So still relatively competitive.
But I think – the Blue Jays and the Yankees are both going to be there, depending on Gerrit Cole.
That's fair enough.
If the Yankees can weather the storm while he's out and just outscore people, then I think that the Yankees could still win over 90 games.
You know what's weird is that the Yankees look to say, probably like you were just talking, they're fourth-ish in the division, but the division's loaded. But when you look at World Series odds, they have like the fifth best odds, but they're the third or fourth best team in their division. Right now.
So, the Red Sox are going to be in last place. The Rays are going to drop off this year. The Rays are in fourth place. Then it's probably going to be the Yankees.
Don't we say that all the time, though?
No, but they don't. I'm telling you.
So you're saying
they don't have pitching, I don't think, to sustain over a full season.
I thought that last year.
I mean, unless every guy takes a step forward. I mean, we'll see. But I'm just saying my prediction is the Red Sox, Rays, Yankees, Blue Jays, Orioles.
I can't really argue that.
Yeah.
I really can't argue anything so far.
I got a wild card.
The Central?
Yeah, then the AL Central.
Okay. So, a wild card pick, an unprecedented one. Gotcha. I thought we were picking wild cards already. It's like, slow down.
I like the Kansas City Royals.
Is it just because everybody else is so bad? Or
no, there's
Bobby Witt Jr. is going to strap him to his back.
And I love some moves they made. I feel like that them getting Kyle Wright for nothing from Atlanta is going to be huge. He's a former 20-game winner. And when you go to Kansas City, the pressure ain't like it is in Atlanta. But I like Bobby Witt becoming potential MVP candidate this year in the AL.
So
probably the best player the Royals have seen position-wise since George Brett.
What do you think of Vinny P there at first base? Is he an upcoming stud? And he's rated a little bit higher than what I
expected
him to be.
Astana?
I'd go with Vinny P because I can't pronounce it.
Works. I don't know how to pronounce it correctly either. That's why I was throwing it out there.
No, he'll be good. He'll be good. I mean, I think they want to see how much power he develops because he's a good hitter.
Yeah.
At first base, you want all that pop.
Yep.
I can't tell you.
He lefty?
I think so. He's not going to be that 30 home run potential, I don't think, this year. But if he hit like 20 to 25 with a high average, that's what I think.
And you got Salvy Perez, the consummate professional behind the plate.
How old is he?
It's got to be in his 30s. Early 30s.
I'd say like 35, right?
Yeah, but So for me, though, I think that division is the most wide open. So I'm picking the Royals, and it probably won't happen. But I love the Guardians. Sorry, I did it again.
It's a bridge, yeah, not a person.
I love the Cleveland young franchise starting rotation. They're going to be really good.
The Cleveland baseball team.
And you got Jose. Mm-hmm.
Who has a mean right hook.
Yes, he's amazing. So I'm telling you, Cleveland will be right there. The Twins. Like, honestly, the Twins is probably the favorite to win the division. I'm just going with the Royals because I like some moves they made.
Yeah, if I would take the Twins over the Royals. Right. Not that the Royals couldn't do it, but the Twins have proven that typically they're going to be right there towards the top of that division. And I love Royce Lewis. I think he stays healthy. He's a superstar in the making.
What do you think it's like being a Twins fan? Like, they're always right there, but they're never good.
They're always good enough to make the playoffs, but they're never going to win a World Series.
I mean, probably kind of like being a Reds fan, to be honest, Chad.
I don't know. The Reds had one of the worst records.
Not just saying, because the Twins won in 87 and 91, and they haven't won anything since. So maybe more like a Pirates fan.
I don't know. They definitely win more.
The Pirates don't win anymore.
No.
So, yeah, like the you're Twins. Right. The Twins are consistent.
Right.
So they've won, and then now they just win enough to get in and break your heart every year.
Like, you feel like they're always first or second in that division.
Yeah, they've made the playoffs a ton in the last 20 years. They just never win.
No.
I'm trying to think who's probably been to the playoffs more consistently than the Twins.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Other than, like, the Braves, probably. But they had, like, an eight-year period where they were bad.
Yeah, but you also got the title. You know, that helps.
I'm just saying, yeah, but
Astros lately. But over the last 20 years, the only team that's probably about that consistent was the Yankees.
Until last year, right?
Yep.
Yep. They had 15 straight years
of that. That's right. That's the Yankees and the Twins are the same.
Yeah, right now.
That's awesome. Congratulations, New York.
I love that.
All right. So
they need a straw that stirs the drink in New York.
All right. Let's do AOS. AOS. I think it's a tough one.
I'm going with the Astros.
It's hard not to.
And I love the Rangers. I think they'll make a wild card. But I love the Astros more, to be honest.
Is their lineup?
Just the fact they've been there, done that. Like, they have more hardware, really, when you think about it, as far as the playoff experience.
Well, you look at the Astros. What did they lose from last year's team other than Dusty Baker?
And some people say that's an upgrade.
What's Dusty's war, you think? Is he like two wins?
No, that's what I'm saying. Some people think him leaving is an upgrade because they think their manager now is better because of where Dusty's so old school that sometimes he holds him back.
Really?
That they won despite him, so to speak.
Hmm. Do you buy that?
Not really. I'm just saying, a lot of people's like that. Now, you don't know. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
there wasn't anything Dusty did that made me go, I wouldn't know.
He was the right guy for the job after the scandal.
Yeah.
And he did exactly what they hired him to do.
Like,
so you can't get mad. And he earned his spot in Cooperstown from this.
No one makes hires that good.
Right.
That just worked perfect.
So, I mean, I'm telling you, that was the right hire. I mean, but he's probably time for him to retire. He's been around baseball forever. So
he's like 70, right?
Yeah.
Got his World Series. He gets to go to the Hall of Fame now. And I'd like to see I picked the Astros to win the division, and I'd like to see if they can continue, because kind of like we talked earlier, where Braves Dodgers both last year struggled with the bye. 2 years in a row for the Astros, they got it and went right through the first round. Won the World Series, went to game 7 in the ALCS. So it's that same core group of guys, with just a different guy calling the shots. And like you say, it may possibly be an upgrade.
Yeah.
Really hard not to pick them to win the division.
So do you think your Mariners have any shot at being better than a third place team?
I don't right now.
I don't like their offense.
Nope.
They don't have enough pop. Like, nope. Their pitching looks decent on paper. Your offense needs some thumpers in there.
I love our pitching. What we did was traded away guys who would hit 235, but they'd hit 30 home runs because we wanted to get more guys on base. Gino. That was horrible. He played great third base. What
the Mariners need is pop.
Yep.
They need some power hitters.
He played a great third base. He'd hit you 30 home runs. They loved him in the clubhouse. I hated that move. Who'd you
get back for Gina?
Bums that aren't playing.
See?
The future.
It was a just slash of prices. Yeah. What it was.
He wasn't making that much, though. He
makes decent money.
Yeah. They were going to need to re-up him if they were going to keep him long. He's in Arizona now.
Yeah,
and we got him.
He'll bop out there too.
Yeah,
Arizona is that hitter friendly ballpark.
Oh, it is.
That's what I thought.
It's like you got the humidor or whatever.
All right,
there in Arizona with the pool.
I bet they got some elevation too. Like how Phoenix is not Sedona, but like it's
well for the third year in a row, we're bringing in a new second baseman who's supposed to be our solve there. This time it's Jorge Polanco from last year was Minnesota.
Jorge.
And the year before that it was Adam
Polanco's good though. He's steady.
Adam, what's this guy? He came over from the Brewers. He was an all-star the year before.
First or ninth?
He'll hit. Well, he'll probably hit first. They always hit. JP usually hits leadoff. But you bring him in at second base. We'll see if he helps or not. But Suarez is gone. You let Teoscar go. I don't know. I don't really like us at all on offense.
Nah, I think you're third place at best. And then I got the Angels and then the A's.
The A's. How many games do the A's win?
I don't know. How many? You said how many do they win?
Yeah,
what probably 55.
I was gonna say, like, if you had to put the over under
55. But here's my what, like, if I was the A's owner, and I'm not, but like, I saw so many bargains. If the A's would just do this every year, if they would draft well, and they would do this strategy every year, being the A's. Wait out the free agent.
I was going to say, wait till the market's almost done.
They could have got him Adam Duvall. They could have got all these other players that are signing for less than $5 million for the year.
Right.
And still formed a veteran team mixed in with some of their young players.
And only one or two-year deals maybe. Right.
Like signing all these guys on short-term deals and at a bargain. Like, you can't tell me, like, how the hell does Adam Duvall come back to the Braves at $3 million?
Right.
Like, well, you can't tell me there's not MLB teams that don't need some power and a guy that can play all three outfield positions.
But Adam Duvall probably wouldn't even play for the A's for $4 million. Yeah, that's
true. They probably like seven or nothing.
You got to start somewhere, you're right. You got to rebuild the
$1 million offer in Atlanta, but for you, it's $7 million.
Well, and you're going to pay for the Coke.
Yeah.
What you said.
And free soda. I thought you meant cocaine off the ass crack. Sorry.
We can go there too, I guess.
If they really wanted to take advantage of it and be aggressive and try to win, they'd be the team that would sign Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
Because he paid for league minimum.
I'm saying, get Oakland to sign all these misfit toys.
I wish you wouldn't have said that.
What?
If Trevor Bauer ends up signing with the A's now, I'm going to blame Biggie.
No, that's what needs to happen, though.
I'll take that credit.
The Allen and Misfits toys work sometimes.
But they're not going to do that because it goes against the narrative of doing the major league synopsis where we just make a team so bad that they can't win. And we got to move the team to wherever they're.
That's what we're doing.
It's 100%.
Rachel Phelps over there.
Life imitates art. That's 100%. All right. I'm ready to enjoy the rest of the evening here without doing the show, but I got to talk March Madness here real quick. And
we got Alabama, UNC, Gary.
We're in the Sweet 16, and my bracket's deader in hell because I picked Auburn, and I only did one bracket. But, Biggie, you got a couple contests going. Is it competitive out there? Is anybody – because it's pretty much gone back to chalk now, right?
Yeah, it's back to chalk. In the bracket that you had Auburn in that we're all in together. It's going to come down to who wins the title between UConn, UNC, and Houston. Big Perm's in first, but he hasn't paid me yet, but he picked Houston.
So he might forfeit.
Raymond's in second with UNC and like the next four people's.
Big Perm's money is under my keyboard at work. I got you.
Ah, there we go.
The next four people all took UConn. So if Houston or UNC wins it, it'll be Raymond or Big Perm.
I was surprised how many people took UConn. I'm not saying UConn's not good, but just the likelihood to have a repeat. It's so uncommon, especially nowadays, but you know, they could still do it. But I know one thing before we talk about just who you feel like is looking the best so far, who's probably going to have the best road to the title. I want to repeat the gambling advice we got a couple weeks ago when we had Chad Patrick on the show, and his advice was to straight up bet the underdog in the first round, every game. Doesn't matter. You take all 16 seeds to win. You take all 15 seeds to win. And, yeah, you're going to lose most of your games, but the logic is the odds on the upsets pay so much. So we did a little math, and we went back, and it's like last year that worked, the year before, I got tired of looking. So we ended up putting money down on the first round games. I know you're still putting money down, but how well did that philosophy work?
ended up paying a 3-to-1 with the teams that won. If you did the same $10 bet on, there's 32 games in the first round. So if you threw down $320, you came back out ahead at around $680, $700.
It's like a,
you had like Yale.
There's no such thing as a shirt.
There was a plus 980 that won. There was a plus 780. So each one of those that $10
like
bet,
$100,
yeah. $100. Yeah.
Like when we were playing the game to see if you could name just what state these schools are, those ones, when they win, it pays very well.
Well, then NC State's in the Sweet 16, while their second round game was at 11 versus a 14, because Oakland taking down Kentucky, that was a big payout too.
That was. So that's a good strategy if you haven't done that before, but put a bow on where we're at right now. Sweet 16, who you like? I'll be honest with you. I haven't been paying enough attention to the tournament to tell you who I like. So I want to hear what you got.
Well, I'm going to stick with Connecticut because that's who I picked to win it all. So,
you're one of those.
Connecticut is going to be the best bet to repeat, baby.
I also picked Connecticut to repeat and win it.
What?
But the one team outside of Connecticut.
Tell me why, Biggie, because I don't know.
they're absolutely loaded. Best center play in the country. They play old school basketball. They're physical. They don't shoot a lot of threes. They run pick and rolls. Danny Hurley said this in 2019. 2018, he got whooped by Villanova. 2019, they beat him by 5 points. And in the post-game press conference, they're kind of getting into him. Don't you think you'd have been better? And blah, blah, blah. He's like, we got beat by 23 last year. We just lost it by 5. We're one of the best teams in the country. You better get us now because you ain't going to get us later. And here they're storming. They're going to win back-to-back titles this year. First time since Billy Donovan in Florida.
That's the last time it's happened in college basketball.
Yep.
That's what I was saying. That's why. That's why I feel like
what year was that?
Taking like UConn.
06, 07.
Yeah, right, so Joe Kim about Noah. 10 years. Joe yeah, Kim okay, Noah. Yeah, yeah. But that's insanity.
The one team outside of them that I really like is the game we're watching right now with Alabama and North Carolina. I love Alabama. They up and down the floor. They put 85-90 on you. Nate Oates is a real good coach.
I can tell you, my son picked UNC for his bracket.
So there's a
interesting like jerseys.
No, he's liking the history and old dad. So he went with MJ's old team.
Can't blame him for that.
James Worthy, baby.
He even has a UNC jersey.
Nice.
What I was going to say with UNC is, did you see the UNC Oklahoma City Thunder comparison?
No.
So UNC's average age of their starters is 22 years.
No. 3 months.
Oklahoma City in the NBA's average starter age is 22 years and 8 months. Like UNC by college standards today, they're a bunch of geezers at the Y.
What they do, they just get a bunch of transfers to come over, and then they're all like
a few seniors, and then seniors? A few of those, and they've had some guys stay.
Well, and where you still have that COVID year hanging out there, there's people that have that extra year.
Yeah, too. Like old girl Caitlin could have played another year.
Yep.
Oh, did you see where Ice Cube wants her in the big three
for like $5 million? Like that's a bold strategy. I feel like he would get that return on investment.
I think he would.
The question is, will she make more doing that versus being in the WNBA?
No, they said she has enough time to do both.
Wow,
that's what they said on the article, the headline today when I was watching like First Take or whatever.
That's amazing. They're
talking about doing both. Now, my question to you is. Big three, she'd be playing retired professionals, correct?
Yes.
Yep. How do you think she'd fare doing that?
I think offensively she'd do okay because she's such a good shooter.
Yeah, defense, she's not going to do anything, but she's going to score a lot and people are going to watch.
Yep. Yeah, I was just curious. Now, I think like she's going to come out and just like destroy the WNBA.
I mean, she's doing pretty good destroying the college game right now.
Is she out already?
No.
Is there a chance we could see a rematch?
There is,
but they got to keep winning.
That'd be amazing.
Speaking of destroying the college game.
Ever since Angel Reese did that little ring thing, I haven't heard a thing about her other than being in trouble.
Yeah, she got in a fight, and that was about it. She got too big for her britches. She couldn't go to school anymore on campus. She had to only do online classes. Yep.
Their coach is
getting mulky,
pissed all to hell.
Well, Washington Post is getting ready to flush her down the drain.
Are they?
Yeah.
What is it? Is it yellow journalism or is it real?
Well, they've given her 2 years to respond to the story they're going to write. She waits until 48 hours before they're going to release it. They ask her one more time because it just tears her apart as a coach, a person, all this stuff.
Like, is she Bobby Knight?
And then she comes out and says, "You release that, I'll sue you." And they're like, we told you 2 years we've been writing it. You could have interviewed at any time.
Yeah. So do you know what like the deets here are? Like
it's her recruiting practices, how she is in her personal life, how she really treats her players, all kinds of stuff.
She was just at a Savannah Bananas game. Guess what? She even got thrown out of that game.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. What does that tell you with the $5 million thing you were talking about with Ice Cube? And then Chad, you'd said people would watch the last home game for Iowa and Caitlin Clark against West Virginia had the highest viewership for a pre Final Four game and in women's basketball history.
Yeah, amazing. It drew like a six or something like that.
Our defense played well against her. I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, 52. The country says we got ripped off.
Yeah, because I think the free throw disparity was 30-5, maybe.
And we did try to attack the basket. It's not like we did.
I saw this joke and it said
came out aggressive on her. Now it was good defense. Yeah.
If Iowa plays the Lakers, who gets more calls? Because we got hosed so bad playing. Iowa.
I know you're talking about the free throw disparity the Lakers enjoy, right?
Yeah. It was fun to watch.
The most delusional thing about Lakers fans is they're like a non-seed right now, but they think they can win the title.
And if they don't win the title, it's a disappointing season.
Yeah, you should know where you're at. But guys, I'm exhausted. I'm ready to call it a show. You guys ready to wrap it up?
Let's do it.
All right. Make sure you guys check out the other episode that drops later this week with former NFL lineman Stephen Wright. He's an author, a Survivor contestant, and the most interesting man in the world. But we appreciate you guys letting us invade your ears once again. This is Chad the Mark with Mr. Brown no more, Greg freaking Rawlings, no more Canadian Biggie, just Biggie. You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.